whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Diving right back into it here on Fesco and Dusty on a Thursday morning. Damn glad to have you. Mac, how much of that basketball game did you watch last night? Cleveland and the Thunder.
You know, my little sister came home last night with her fiance, so we ended up watching stuff. We ended up watching, actually, the new Wallace and Gromit.
Huh? You beat me to it. I was leaning back at my...
Wallace and Gromit?
Sure.
What?
Sorry, I don't know, dude.
No, you guys are in the wrong here. This is
Wallace
not me.
And Grimace?
Yeah, what? You guys are going to be in the minority. Text line should destroy
you. I was there when Wallace got shot. That's a line from Forrest Gump.
I do know Forrest Gump. That is, yes.
Based on a true story.
Well-known. Yeah. More well-known than Wallace.
Oh, man, you just stepped in a huge pile of crap. It happens. What? Blank? Sometimes.
Can you believe one man invented all of that? It's crazy when you think about it, man.
I invested in some fruit company, and since I was a gazillionaire, I mowed their lawns for free.
Crazy. I would absolutely do that. If I had nothing else to do, I'd just go.
Oh, like, you wouldn't? You'd move to like Fiji.
Yeah,
you'd never
probably.
See
never see again.
Stop it.
Someplace with rocks in my front yard so I'd never have to mow.
Yeah, that poor lady that owned that Walter White house. Just people driving by and throwing pizzas on her roof. Yeah. Finally sold for like $4 million.
Could you?
I'd be pissed.
I'd be like,
instead of throwing that up there, just hand it to me.
Yeah.
Stop. Like,
people throwing pizzas on the roof. It's so good. I mean, that's human nature in a nutshell, though, right there.
So I'm going to give Carrington Harrison some credit because it kind of defends this topic. There's people that I've been texted by that are like, do you think Steve Spagnuolo will leave? And I immediately, before the three dots can even be seen on their phone, no. Carrington tweeted this yesterday, and this was mind-blowing to me. Josh McDaniels and Steve Spagnuolo have both coached 52 games as a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
McDaniels is 20-32. Do you want to guess what Spag's record is?
Worse than that.
11-41.
Yeah.
He's not a head coach, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
He's the best defensive coordinator. Robert Saleh was a head coach. He's now going back home to San Francisco.
Is he? Because I saw they were hiring somebody else
for an interview.
Okay.
Because I called that yesterday, and Matt gave me credit, that I was like, guarantee you San Francisco's going to be like, hey, Robert.
Well,
hey,
why man. Wouldn't you? I mean, when Matt left Chicago, he came right back here. It's what you do, right?
And you look at it, and there's other guys that maybe are like that, like Cliff Kingsbury, right? Mm-hmm. He goes and coaches. It's not great. Goes to Bali for like a year, wherever it was, for like, I don't know, a year and a half with his wife or whatever, and just disappears, goes off the face of the map, whatever. Comes back, becomes a coordinator, and hello, Mr. Daniels, rookie of the year. Hello, Washington. They're in the playoffs. Right. Dan Quinn's a lot responsible for that as well. But I don't think Spags is going anywhere, and there's two reasons why I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he loves his job here in Kansas City. And why leave something so perfect?
Well, you leave because of the money and the ego. And that, you know, and I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, we all have in our line of work that ego that you like, you know, someday I'd like to do this or someday I'd like to do that. Then you get to a certain spot of your career or life and you just realize the best thing I want to do is just provide for my family. It doesn't matter. But a lot of these folks have egos. And I think, like you mentioned, 11 wins and 42 losses or whatever it was, whatever the number is, right?
11 and 41.
11-41, right?
Mm-hmm.
Steve Spagnuolo don't like that,
no.
Right? Like, that's 30 games under 500 as a head coach. That's really bad in a league that is, for the most part, pretty even across the board. Now, was Steve Spagnuolo a bad head coach? I was there his first year in St. Louis and covered him the day he was hired and the whole nine yards. And I can say that I don't know. Like, there were some things maybe you look back at that were a little cringe, you know, that Spags did and whatnot. I think there was some like pillar thing he tried to do that was kind of like Harry High School. And you're like, all right, I'm not buying into that. But was he a bad head coach or was he like a lot of these coaches, which is a bad situation, right? A bad situation in the Rams that when he was hired, didn't have an owner because the owner had died and they were trying to figure out who was going to buy the team. Was it going to be the guy who ended up moving into LA? Was it going to be the guy who owned Jacksonville? Like there was a rudderless ship of ownership there,
easy,
basically,
Mac.
Right? Like they the owner died and then her kids took over the team, but she did not will it properly to her team. So they had to sell the team in order to pay the inheritance tax on the team. So they didn't really have an owner. They weren't investing a lot of money. It was a bad situation in a bad city. And like, I just look at that whole thing and I go, was Steve Spagnuolo a bad head coach or was it really a bad situation? And I think it's the bad situation. Now look, 11 wins. You got to do better than that. Okay. Regardless of the situation that you're in, but the Rams basically let that thing get so run down that Kroenke was able to buy it for a song and then move that thing to LA. And so I don't know how bad Spags really was as a head coach, but now that you're in your 60s, like you got this thing moving here in Kansas City, you already coached a bad organization in the Rams at the time. Do you really want to step your toe into the Raiders? Like, you want to talk about bad ownership, brother? Like, that thing, that guy's got a Lloyd Christmas haircut.
Yeah, I mean, I look at this as like, I think he's done it. I don't necessarily know if he liked it. He's later on in his career, and a lot of people say on the text line as well, like, if he gets an opportunity, he's definitely going to take it. I just don't see that happening. I think his relationship with Andy Reid, I think his relationship with his team and this city and what he has is on his slate as a coach, he's nailed it. I don't think that I just don't see him leaving Kansas City because of the situation that he has. Now, again, a three-peat can change that for everyone. Mm-hmm. Travis Kelce may hang it up. DeAndre Hopkins may hang it up. You know, it might give Andy Reid a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel when he wants to settle down and call it a day, which I don't see that happening anytime soon, especially with the extension that he got last year. But I just don't think Spagnuolo, I don't know the man personally, but the way that I look at this, I see this coaching staff as it is Andy Reid and Spags' team. Like, that's how I look at it.
Sure,
it's your head coach, defensive coordinator. Like, this isn't Robert Saleh leaving. This isn't Aaron Glenn leaving Detroit. This is guys that, you know, this is a foundation they built, and they brought Spags in, and ever since they brought him in, this defense was turned around. And I know he'll have understudies, but I see this as one of those things where you don't see very often in the NFL, which is what the Chiefs have proven year in and year out. They're doing things that you don't see often in the NFL. And one thing that I think that you don't see very often is one guy stay with a team and ride it out and then ride off into the sunset together.
Yeah.
I think, in my opinion, that you will see Andy Reid and Spagnuolo walk away together because of what they've built, what they've done. And it's enough. Like, he was a coordinator in New York. It worked. He was a head coach at Rams. It didn't work. He's a coordinator in Kansas City, and it's been the best time of his career. It's been the best career move he's ever made.
No doubt.
To be the defensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Absolutely.
I don't see him leaving.
No. Yeah. See,
And who's going to get the meatballs and spaghetti?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Players are going to make sure he doesn't leave.
That's exactly right.
They're going to go talk to his wife.
Yeah, hey, better Maria, make sure. you're not leaving for Vegas. Okay, right. You're staying right here. But here's the thing, though. Like, the ego thing is a driving force, but I don't know that he's a real candidate, if you will, for the Raiders. Like, And this isn't a knock against Steve Spagnuolo at all. I don't know that the Raiders at this point in time, much like the Jets, can afford to go out there and hire Steve Spagnuolo. They need to have a big splash. They need to have that wow factor because it is Las Vegas and that's the entertainment capital of the world, right? And if you want to start establishing your fan base so every game that you have isn't red or orange or whatever other color the team is, not you that's playing there, you've got to start winning some games and really generating the fan base interest. I don't know that Steve Spagnuolo does that. And I don't know. Matt Nagy interviewed with the Jets yesterday. I don't know that Matt Nagy moves the needle enough for the New York Jets to hire him. I still think Rex Ryan is the perfect fit in New York. And of course, I wouldn't wish the Jets on Matt, but if he wants to be a head coach again, which he should because he's really great at it, then go ahead and take that job. But I think right now, I think the Raiders need a big splash. I think they need a Mike Vrabel, a Pete Carroll, a John Gruden even, to kind of right that ship and get people excited again about that organization. Because right now, that's a neutral site game for the for the Raiders. It's a home game for everybody else.
And he can also take the Ben Johnson route where he can be as picky as he wants and he will always be a candidate.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't see him leaving.
Did you see the Bears just got done interviewing?
Never heard of him.
Yeah, Drew Petzing.
Never heard of him.
Does he have a pretzel at the landing?
I don't think so. Drew Petzing. Bears. Never heard of him. We have completed an interview with head coach candidate Drew Petzing. I've never heard of that person.
Yeah. Coming up on the other side, he's had his Cheerios, which means he's had his fiber. What's with all the pet food, Ace? So we come back. We'll get with Goldilocks here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. It's time for Golden Locks with Alex Gold.
Gotta figure out how to make money on this thing. It's simply too good.
All right, here we go. Alex Gold in studio with us. It's Goldilocks time with Bob Fesco, his son, Alex Gold. Fesco.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good, guys.
How'd that betting show go last night?
It was great. That betting show was a lot of fun. We had a ton to get into, right? We've got five straight days of playoff action.
Yeah, which is great. Like,
it's been a tough 3 days.
It really has been. Like, why though?
Because we're sports nuts, and it's absolutely abysmal outside. And it's like the Chiefs don't play. You got nothing to dive into really for the Chiefs. And then it's just like, can we get to Thursday? Can we get to Thursday?
Do you think if we didn't have the snow days, we would have been? Because the snow days felt like an extended kind of Christmas break, and there should have been games on, and the kids weren't in school, and it was just. I mean, it's been abnormal since, like, you know, the middle of December, and there's been games on constantly, and now it's over.
I think here locally, too, remember, go back to the baseball season. We were, like, nonstop, competitive, intense, you know, games mean everything since really mid-September till now, where we have this 2 week of layoff until games matter again for the Chiefs.
Right. You know? But games start to matter tonight when it comes to the college thing, and you got Penn State taking on Notre Dame in this one.
I love the start time.
I mean,
I'm sure you guys.
He's already learning how mornings operate. 6:30 start time, sweet.
I mean, I like it as well. I don't get up nearly as early as you guys, but I bet plenty of people in the Central Time Zone, and definitely out east, love the fact that it's 6:30. I can't wait for it.
It's great.
Look, these two games we get. One tonight, one tomorrow. I mean, they are premier brands, obviously, in college football. And so no matter what everybody thought about the way the playoff was going to set up, we still, I think, got what we kind of wanted with the brands. And Notre Dame was a team that I thought could get to a national title. So I'm not going to shy away from them now. They're 1.5-point favorites. I do like them quite a bit in this game tonight because I think they're one of the few teams that has somewhat of an answer for Tyler Warren, as much of an answer as you can have. He's a very talented tight end. You guys obviously know about him. He's going to be probably a top 15, top 10 pick, depending on who you talk to in the draft. And I think Notre Dame has the personnel to match up with that. Plus, they have the running game that, you know, Boise State struggled to run, even though they had Ashton Gentry. I think we saw the talent gap when Penn State played Boise State. It was very evident. That talent gap isn't there. I mean, when you're talking about Notre Dame and Penn State, I like Notre Dame quite a bit to win this thing, get into a national title game. I think they have the better head coach in this matchup as well.
Yeah.
And James Franklin... let the big game stuff continue for him if he doesn't win this one, because nobody's giving him credit for winning the first two or whatever.
Because it was against teams that are like, yeah, whatever. But we were talking earlier about, like, every coach and quarterback seemingly, other than like Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, is they can't win the big one out there. Like, that seems to be the narrative for most of these coaches, and you can't win the big one because a lot of times you're playing a really good team, you know?
You are, but you're right. Think about it. I mean, in the NFL now, that name that I think of immediately is Kyle Shanahan. And before it was Andy Reid. That's why I've always said, like, and now I think everybody kind of agrees. Kyle Shanahan is what Andy Reid was 7 years ago or whatever.
Yeah, before he won that first Super Bowl.
Yeah, so I'm with you. There's definitely a lot of coaches. I think in college, though, whether it's Ryan Day, your guy there at Ohio State, or James Franklin at Penn State, this is just how the top-tier coaches are always going to be viewed. And so I don't think anybody's saying about that with Marcus Freeman yet, but if he loses this game, that might be all of a sudden the narrative for him, even though I think it's pretty unfair.
Year
I think
two.
I know. I guess Brian Kelly, it's this first. See, first, is it is he came in at the end of 2022? I guess so. Yeah. Are we on heading into year three now?
Yeah.
It's crazy. So I think he's one of the best coaches.
So Notre Dame minus 1.5. You love Notre Dame.
Yeah. Who are you at? I like Notre Dame in this game.
I like Notre Dame. Yeah. I think they're more talented on the field wise. I think that it's, you know, inevitable that they get into the national championship. I'm not saying that there's scripts or anything like that. I'm not that full into the Fescoisms yet, but we all want Notre Dame and Texas, I think, is what college football would love. But then again, there's Ohio State, and you brought up a storyline of Freeman and Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, look, you played at Ohio State, so if we end up getting Notre Dame, Ohio State, that's a fun angle on top of the Ryan Day part. Could you imagine, though, if Notre Dame wins, Ohio State wins, and it's Notre Dame beats Ohio State in the national title game next week? Will Ohio State fans, you tell me you're Mr. Ohio State all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Will you and other Ohio State fans then say that they should fire Ryan Day for Marcus Freeman?
No, I don't think you make that decision, but there will be fans.
Wait, Ohio State
that.
Fans are rational? I wasn't
aware. No fan base is rational.
rational. Yeah. I mean, there's none. Find me a rational fan base.
I do think we probably end up with Notre Dame, Ohio State. Yeah. Although, if you're going to talk about betting, Texas, if you can get them at 6 points, they're 5.5 at FanDuel. Texas is a 5.5 point underdog.
Everybody hates Texas, which tells me Texas is going to keep this thing close and probably win the game.
I definitely like them to cover. I think last week we briefly touched on it, that everybody has said, hey, Ohio State, nobody can beat them with the way they're playing. And maybe there's some truth to that. We'll find out. But anytime everybody is so on board with one team, to your point there, like, I think Texas is going to make that a lot closer. They have the defense to do it. That's the difference. The other teams Ohio State have faced, to me, haven't had that kind of defense. And Texas is first or second in multiple defensive categories. It's kind of why I like the under. It's 53.5 points tomorrow night's game.
Yeah.
Ohio State and Texas. And I get it. We see the wide receiver group there for Ohio State, which is Jeremiah Smith is just ridiculous. We thought Marvin Harrison Jr. was ridiculous. This kid might be better.
It's insane. I mean, wide receiver, man.
I mean, it is. And then, that university just continues to churn them out. But I think that goes under because of the Texas defense. So ultimately, under in that game, and then Notre Dame to cover tonight, and then Texas to cover tomorrow night.
Okay. So this is what some people are considering the best 5-day stretch of football in quite some time, maybe the history. So we move from college. You like Texas to cover. You like Notre Dame to cover tonight. We move on. Chargers, Texans, right? That's the first game, Saturday, Nickelodeon, slime time, whatever. You like the Chargers?
I do. I'm a little hesitant on it, though, because last night I had a guest on my show, and he was bringing up there's this trend that's out there when it comes to teams that weren't in the playoffs the year before, and obviously the Chargers fit that. Mm-hmm. And then our favorites in wild card weekend. And it's something like they've won once out of the last like 20 something times or something.
Wow.
Or they covered once out of the last 20 something times. It's a terrible trend for backing the Chargers. With that said, I've been kind of out on the Texans. I don't know if it's because we saw it, a couple weeks ago firsthand. They're banged up. CJ Stroud's not been as good. That offensive line is a serious problem for them. And I think if Harbaugh's not there, then I don't take the Chargers here. I just don't think a Harbaugh team is going to lay an egg in a playoff game like this.
Okay, I want to factor in the fires, though, to all of this as well, because this is a big factor. Not because they have to move the game. This one's already on the road, and we'll get to the Rams in a second. But a lot of these guys live in that area where these fires are. They've got to leave their families in these fires to go play a football game. Even if you're not leaving your family and they're going with you, you're still dealing with that. You've been dealing with that all week. How focused on the game can you be if you're the LA Chargers or the LA Rams with this unbelievably horrible disaster going on right there that is affecting literally everybody in that city?
That's the unknown on the gambling end. I think you're right, though. On this one, we're not talking about a change of venue. They were always planning on leaving. It's the human element of knowing that your family. I think there was a coach for the Chargers yesterday that was talking about how his family or family member, somebody had lost their home or was in danger of losing their home. And so, how can you not think about that? I personally, though, looking at where the line movement has been and everything, I don't think you can not make a bet based off of somebody, what they might be dealing with in their personal life. Because frankly, every game there's probably that. We just don't know. This one's public.
Right. This one's
public. But there's every week, I'm sure there's somebody on somebody's NFL team that's got some family issue going on. It's life, right? Whatever. So I don't think that should deter you from backing the Chargers. The question for the Chargers is just that, if they're able to continue the defensive dominance that we saw at times this season against the Texans, do they hold down Nico Collins? Because other than that, Nico Collins, there's no Tank Dell anymore. Dalton Schultz hasn't been as effective. Like I like the Chargers quite a bit. It's under three. That's the key. We talk about the key numbers a lot in betting, 3, 6, etc. It's under three, which is crucial. You can still win your bet at a field goal. If this thing were up to -3, then I would consider not betting the Chargers, but I still get it. They only have to win by three. I'll lean in that direction.
Per Paul Hembo.
Okay.
I don't know. All right. Adam Schefter tweeted this. Underdogs are 69-105 all time on wild card week and an average of 1.5 upsets per season. At least one underdog has won a game in the wild card round in 40 of the last 46 seasons dating back to 1978. Who is that underdog?
The Rams.
Okay.
Yeah. Now that to Bob, what we said about the weather, that one could actually, the fires, I should say, that could actually cause a change of venue. The only thing that could impact for betting is some books, and this gets a little too nerdy, but there's different rules for FanDuel or DraftKings or whoever. Some books, if the venue changes, they'll void the bet, and so you may have to rebet. They may put a new line up. If the venue doesn't change, we just saw this, unfortunately, with another tragic event in New Orleans where the Sugar Bowl, it moved back a day, but it didn't change venue. Most books didn't change or void your bet. So that's the only thing that could change with this Rams-Vikings games. If they move it to Glendale and State Farm Stadium, then if you have an existing bet, you may have to like re-bet it and the line may adjust. I don't think we'll see massive line movement because of that. The Rams at least have played in that stadium once a year as a divisional opponent, but you lose some of the home field advantage. There's no doubt.
Well, I mean,
you're not going to have.
Though, I mean, like, what kind of home field advantage do these LA teams truly have?
The Rams
have
more than the Chargers, though.
But, I mean, we're not talking about a lot. And Dusty brought it up earlier. Like, how many people roll into this game on Monday night, you know, knowing that the city's on fire?
I think it just how much more does this thing spread? It's awful, obviously. I mean, the stadium's in Inglewood, and, like, I've never been to LA, so I'm not trying to act like I'm an expert or whatever. I think it's the air quality problem for the stadium more than, like, they're not worried about. It depends on where people live, but it's not the fires aren't getting to Inglewood. It's just the air quality is what could push this game to Glendale is what they're saying, because it's an open air stadium. So that element could definitely play a role in it. I like to answer your question though directly about the upset and everything. I like the Rams quite a bit here. I was going to take the Rams in this game, mm-hmm. whether it was the Lions or the Vikings, the loser of that Sunday night game. I think both teams were beat up. I would have picked the Lions to lose this game if they would have been in this spot as well. Sam Darnold, I don't know how you can't be a little concerned with what we saw. He looked like the guy that was seeing ghosts again and Happy Feet. You know they're going to get after him because that was the problem. The Lions got to him, and Sam Darnold really didn't have an answer for it. Yep. So that's concerning. It's also his first playoff start. We don't talk about it in the same way as rookies, where only 11 or 12 rookies have won their first ever playoff game. Sam Darnold, this is his first playoff game on top of it. And Sean McVay, not that Kevin O'Connell's not a good coach, but Sean McVay, I think, is one of the best coaches in the entire league.
Yeah.
And so I like the Rams quite a bit. Preseason, I had them in an NFC title game, so I'm a little biased. I obviously want to see that come true. So
sure.
We'll see. I think the Rams are definitely the upset pick of the weekend, though.
So then we get two. So we move on to Steelers-Ravens, the other game that is the Saturday night slate at 7 o'clock. Steelers-Ravens. Steelers getting 9.5.
Huge spread. I know how many times we've talked about Tomlin's history as an underdog and how you got to usually bet him. That's when the spread is under 4. When he's a 4-point dog, he covers around a 70% clip. It's insane. I mean, just last week, that Cincinnati game, they had no business covering the game, but they found a way to cover.
They did.
They found a way to cover, and that continued that trend. But under Mike Tomlin, the Steelers are just 3-14 as outright winners and 7-9-1 against the spread. So below 500 in covering when he's an underdog of 7 points or more. If he's an underdog of 8 or more, which he is here, he's just 1-8 outright. And his only win was in 2022 against the Bucks. So it's a different story when you start to get to like major underdog territory. They, in fact, haven't won or covered a playoff game since 2016.
Yeah.
We all are familiar with that. Yep. So that's how different I think this is when we talk about versus, hey, they're a 3.5-point dog. You know, you can't count Mike Tomlin out. I think to be safe here, though, why not do a teaser? You know, we like doing the teasers throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
Tease Baltimore down. You can do a 6 or 7 point teaser. So you want to tease them down to 3 or whatever, however you want to do it. And you pair that with the Rams, tease them up. So all of a sudden I get the Rams as 7.5-point dogs, and I get the Ravens as 3, 3.5-point favorites, depending on how you want to do it.
And that'll probably be like -115, mm-hmm. somewhere
around
that line.
Yeah,
you
have to pay a little juice on it. But that, if you're worried about, hey, they're at 10 points, it's still a rivalry game and all that. That I think alleviates some of your concerns. So I have the Ravens -9.5, but I also will have a teaser to kind of CYA a little bit.
The hammer in golf is different than the hammer in betting. Mac is hammering this next game, which was Saturday slate. Mac is hammering Buffalo 8.5.
Why?
I think it's going to be a close game. I think Buffalo wins, but by like 2 or 3 points.
I like the Broncos to cover. That's what I think the Broncos cover this game. I'm trying to balance out the, you know, what we just saw, which wasn't it was a preseason game for the Chiefs and the Broncos. You know, they're confident, though. I mean, in their mind, they're at least being sold that, hey, we went out and we just beat the Kansas City Chiefs 38-0.
Yeah,
they have plenty of confidence. I understand it was the backups. We know that. But
so what?
But
they don't
care. I think Denver can cover the 8.5. I'm with you. Why do you think it's a bad matchup?
Yeah, I think it's a bad matchup. I think Josh Allen's on a heater. I think that Broncos defense has been a little overrated all season. I don't think Week 18 has anything to do with momentum or confidence. That means nothing. That was a JV squad. And I think they're going to go into Buffalo and they're going to forget about whatever JV squad they were playing, because they're going to be in the first playoff environment that they've ever seen against what is going to be now an MVP quarterback in Buffalo, top three hardest place to play in the playoffs.
Yeah, look, I don't think Denver wins this game. Going back to the rookie quarterback stat, I mean, it's just the odds are against you to win as a rookie, mm-hmm. and I don't think Bo Nix is in the category of, you know, Jaden Daniels or CJ Stroud last year or anything like that when those guys won in their first game. But I do think Denver can cover the 8.5 points. That would be it's not my favorite bet for the weekend by any means, but if I were to take out of the two big spreads, Steelers to cover 9.5 or Broncos to cover 8.5, I feel better about the Broncos cover.
I do too. Yeah.
Than
really?
The other side. Yeah.
Nine of the last 10 Steelers Ravens games have been decided by one possession.
I'm so out though. I'm so out on the Steelers. How can I not be? I'm so out on them. I mean, just they've
five
lost.
To 12
not
only for have they 41 lost 41 yards in the third quarter with Russ.
Well, here's the thing. If you get to 20 points on the Steelers, it's over.
Yeah.
You get to 20. They have scored 17 or less in four straight games. They're the fourth team to do that heading into the playoffs. The other three teams that only scored 17 or less and lost four straight, their playoff game, they lost outright, and they scored 17 or less in that playoff game as well. If you think Baltimore is losing, or if the Steelers can cover, then it needs to be like a 17-10 game where the Steelers put up 10 points, the Ravens only put up 7 or 17, and it's a 17-10 game, and they cover that way. Mm-hmm. There's no way the Steelers are covering a game in which the Ravens score 24 or 28 points. There's no way.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, because Pittsburgh can't score, and it continues to show you how great Mike Tomlin is as a head coach. Everybody wants him fired, but nobody mentions their GM who saddles him with Russell Wilson and,
they should be an 8-win team. They should be an 8-win team, but boy, doesn't that suck to be in that spot? Like, I agree with you. Mike Tomlin would be hired in 2 seconds if he got fired.
I said yesterday the Bears should be trading for Mike Tomlin.
I don't disagree. My issue, if I'm a Steelers fan, I almost want to reset, though. I, as great as a head coach, I know it sounds crazy to get rid of a future Hall of Fame head coach, who Mike Tomlin will be, but you're stuck. You're winning 9 or 10 games every year. You're never drafting high enough to get a legit quarterback. What, you know, you have no chance to go on a
run. See, that's where, like, the GM and head coach, to me, and I'm not saying this is the truth, but this is my perception. Are you guys on the same page here? Because Tomlin wants to win, and the GM keeps going, all right, now you got to do it with Russell Wilson. And Tomlin goes, okay, I'll win 10 games with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Like, I think people are swinging and missing when they don't like Mike Tomlin. That GM in Pittsburgh has given Tomlin nothing to work with.
Well, I mean, he gave him a good offensive coordinator this year. Accordingly, not
Arthur Smith.
I get the Jets. Well, the Jets are talking to everybody. If they hire Arthur Smith,
Arthur Smith might go down as one of the biggest grifters of all time.
Yeah, he is.
Look,
if his dad didn't find FedEx, this guy wouldn't have a job in the NFL.
I don't disagree.
And I'm 100% convinced of that. You want to talk about nepotism? Arthur Smith's father was the president and CEO of Federal Express. Who's the biggest advertiser in the NFL? FedEx. You get my kid a job, we'll continue to be one of the biggest advertisers you have. There's no question the only reason Arthur Smith is in the NFL is because his dad was scratching a check running Federal Express.
I thought his dad was that guy that sang for the band Queen. So you move on to the next slate of games. Green Bay and Philly. I think this is the toughest game of the weekend to try to... Philadelphia's getting 4.5 points. Everybody wants to give the Chiefs a bunch of, questions of rust or rest. Jalen Hurts hadn't played a game. He won't play a game for 28 days. Damn near a month. In the concussion protocol, I know probably by today he'll be out of it and he'll be practicing or whatever. But 4.5, Philadelphia favorites at home.
So I'm with you that it's the toughest game to kind of handicap of the entire weekend, all the games we go through, for the reasons you brought up. One, it's a 4.5 spread, which puts it in between, like, anytime you get a spread in between 3 and 6, that automatically makes it a little trickier to try to navigate. I don't buy Jordan Love yesterday saying that he's hopeful he'll play. He's playing. Come on now. So, Jordan,
if you are a starting quarterback in this league and you're borderline, you're playing. If not, you're gone.
We're getting Love versus Hurts. We know Christian Watson for the Packers is unfortunately out for the season. The Eagles, to me, let's not forget how we were feeling before the Jalen Hurts injury. And, like, the injury here, concussion is serious, but we're not talking about, like, a lower body injury where I'm worried about him not being able to run. We saw the difference on short yardage when they had the backups in. They were able to throw against the Cowboys last week or whatever, but what Jalen Hurts and Barkley are, when the 1-2 punch on short yard, it's basically free set of downs multiple times a drive with what they have. I like the Philadelphia Eagles. If I had a bet this one, I do not have a bet on the game though, because I do think it's the toughest one to figure out. Maybe this is where the live bet comes in, Dusty. If the Packers get up 7-0 early, you do a live bet. All of a sudden, I get the Packers maybe at down to 3 or something like that. That's what I'm going to be waiting for.
I think a game that has a lot of action on it, where I like the over. Washington-Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I like Tampa a lot, though, in this game. Yeah. It's the rookie quarterback thing. Baker Mayfield and that offense is going to put up points. I don't know if the Commanders have much of an answer. Marshawn Lattimore, I think, is supposed to play. He's been hurt. He's the corner there for the Commanders, and he's going up against Mike Evans. They got some history there.
Yeah,
that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I lean a little bit towards the over 50.5, but the bet that I like more between the total and spread is just simply the Bucs to cover the 3 points. win this one kind of comfortably. I don't think they're gonna blow out the Commanders, but I don't think this one will be much of a sweat. I think the Commanders fun ride and the rookie of the year season for Daniels kind of comes to an end this Sunday night.
And yeah, then, I do too.
And then you brought up the upset, which is the Rams over the Vikings. You like the Rams?
Yeah, quite a bit. Yeah, okay. Quite a bit. Unfortunately, we're going to have to see. There's a real chance this thing gets moved to Glendale. I just don't think we're going to. I don't think you'll see the game go off the board if it moves to Arizona and suddenly this line just changed drastically. Maybe it goes from 1.5 to the Rams are, you know, 2-point dogs. I had my guest on last night said he thinks moving to Arizona actually is almost more of an advantage for the Rams than it is for the Vikings, just because they've played in the building and they're just familiar with that, and it's still, you know, and all that.
I don't think it's an advantage for anybody, quite honestly.
It's a neutral site at that point.
Yeah, at that point, it's a neutral site. It's probably more an advantage for the Vikings because they're traveling regardless. The plane just takes a little bit of a left turn instead of continues to go straight, right? The Rams got to pack everything up where they weren't expecting to go.
That's true.
And it's going to be one of those kind of last-minute things. Now, I will say this. This tweet just came in. Formerly X, now Twitter, from Variety. It says the evacuation order for all of Hollywood neighborhoods was lifted on Thursday morning at 7:30. So I don't know what that means, but the evacuation order in Hollywood has now been lifted. Does that mean things are starting to simmer down a little bit? I don't know the answer to that.
I think, from my understanding, we're all just kind of reading the same stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's the air quality more than it is like worrying about the fire spreading anywhere and preventing people to getting to Inglewood or whatever where the stadium is. It's whether or not the air quality index or whatever reaches a certain level or something, and that's how they're going to determine whether or not this game can happen or not.
Why wouldn't that game be in Vegas?
I don't know. I know they have done
there
this
maybe
for
an
a while.
Event there going on.
Well, there you go. Yeah, it's Vegas. So maybe that's right. I think Adam Schefter last night had some basically backing up your question, like with some data of they've had wildfires, of course, out there before, and they've used Arizona in the past. I don't know why, but that's just
because Vegas didn't exist. Maybe they
have a better relationship because it's a divisional opponent. So maybe just the ownership between the Rams and Cardinals are more familiar, and it's just easier for them to navigate that. I'm not sure. One thing I'll point out, though, that for those that are betting on the Kansas side, soon on the Missouri side as well, this football season, this should make you feel good. So a lot of the books, some of them are publicly traded companies, so they have to put out like how their earnings were and everything. This past year was the roughest year for FanDuel in an NFL season since online sports betting happened. So you should all, you know, everybody, a round of applause. That's
because we're winning.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
A lot of backslaps.
FanDuel reported, quote, very unfavorable U.S. sports results, primarily on NFL parlay and same game parlay outcomes. The NFL season has been the most customer friendly since online sports betting launched.
Good.
Scammers are getting better and bettors are getting better.
Good for everybody out there.
No Cody today, just you and Drew?
Sean Barber's going to stop by. I think he's going to host the first 2 hours with me.
So Sean
Barber will get his perspective on everything going on with coaching carousel. Plus, of course, talk about some college football. We'll mix that in. And then you should listen to the random question of the day today at like 12:40. Okay. I think you'll enjoy it. It's a dilemma that was out there. It happened with a Survivor contest in Las Vegas. Somebody won it. They were with a group of friends and family members on one entry, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And one of them wanted out 5 weeks in. So they bought them out. They go on to win the whole thing. What do you do? So we'll get to that during the random question.
Well, you sell, you lose.
There you go.
Sorry.
Appreciate you, man. Alex Gold coming up at 10 o'clock. He'll be with Barber and Drew. First 2 hours with Sean Barber, Barbershop 59, and then Drew until 2 o'clock. Unfortunately, they got to talk Bengals. Coming up on the other side. We'll wrap this show up here on Fesco and Dusty at 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
What is your flavor of this week, by the way? Snow? Did you go out and make fresh snow cones?
No.
I saw a lot of people doing that. They went out there and grabbed some snow, add some flavor. I guess that's fine.
You can do that, yeah.
Watch out for the yellow kind.
Oh, yeah.
It's not good.
I tried to shovel a little bit more yesterday. Just like that ice, I didn't realize how thick the ice really was.
Oh, I could have told
Seriously.
You that.
Seriously. I mean, inches. Like, holy cow. Like,
THICC.
Yeah.
Thick.
I didn't realize it was that bad until I started to get out there in the backyard. I'm like plates of ice. Like, crazy. And we're supposed to get more beginning at 6 o'clock tonight, right?
Not ice.
No.
1 to 3 inches expected tonight after sunset. So that'll look like nothing.
We won't even notice that tomorrow.
Now those people up north, like 1 to 3 inches, stop it. But I did see somewhere tweeted, it said that there's expected to be 6 to 12 inches in places that don't really see that, which is like Little Rock, Arkansas, could get like 6 to 12 inches of snow.
Yeah, like it's going like, through Dallas right now. People were concerned about the game tomorrow
Texas. What game? Oh, yeah, college.
The college game, yeah, in Texas tomorrow. Like there's supposed to be a wild winter storm whipping through
there. They just have like Bevo just running through the snow with like steam coming out of the nostrils.
The Dallas forecast is like snow, like you just mentioned, and then the next day is going to be in the 50s. Like it's one day that they're going to, and it's going to be a mess down there. A mess.
Don't forget, one more reminder, we have made some playoff t-shirts thanks to our friends over at Gates Barbecue. So be on the lookout on how to get these next week. We got one more day Friday. Some people think this week's gone on forever, but we got one more day. And then next week, don't forget also to get Gates Barbecue for your tailgate or if you're watching at home this weekend, because it's a stress-free weekend. Gotta be probably the best 5-day stretch for football there's been in
It's going to be fantastic.
Guys. I mean, Max younger than us, but I mean, even his lifetime, like he's had a lot of good football. We've had a lot of good football, but a 5 consecutive stretch.
I don't know that we've ever had a 5-day stretch like this when it comes to football before. Playoffs. Yeah. Playoffs. 5 days of playoffs.
Marquee teams, right? Texas, Ohio State.
That's the other thing.
Baltimore, like, Pittsburgh.
Yeah. It's all like marquee teams that you either have a rooting interest for or a rooting interest against. Like tonight's Notre Dame, tomorrow's Texas, Ohio State, very polarizing teams. Saturday rolls around. I guess, I don't know, man, like side yes or no with me on this. I love watching AFC North football. I mean, take us out of the equation. There's nothing better than watching AFC North football. And we get that on Saturday night.
Yeah.
No, I just want to win, Jim.
I know.
Okay.
Won yesterday.
I just want to win, Jim.
On a Wednesday?
Dude, wow. Snow day.
Dude.
Hump day.
I put a sign on the garage door coming into the kitchen for everybody to see. It says, I'm waiting patiently. And my wife's like, I'm leaving that up for the kids.
Oh, my God.
I just want to win, Jim.
That's the sign you need to put on your bedroom door. Screw the vacant, non-vacant.
Yeah.
I had a guy do that the other day. I was in the Apple store. Had to go, too. It was a big step for me. Normally, I don't do that.
You went in public, huh?
And the guy opened the door right on me. Sorry, bro.
Oh,
damn.
Puckered up. Got out of there.
Why didn't you lock it?
I did. I thought. I mean, I turned the knob. He just opened up. He goes, oh, sorry, man. I was like, yeah. And I just went...
What do you do in that situation?
Wipe, hands wash, get out.
No, I mean, if you're the other guy.
Oh.
Did you see him when you got out of there?
I was looking.
You were?
Never saw him.
You feel like if you're that guy, do you just like, get out of the store? I'll come back tomorrow.
The eye contact, everything. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it was the longest 2 seconds of my life. And I'm used to 2 seconds.
Right.
And it was long, dude. I mean, we made eye contact. And I was like,
did you get his name?
No. Got his number, though.
Good?
Yeah. I said, sorry, I've been hacked. He goes, yeah, me too, currently. I was like, oh, good, man. I can't poop in public, man. It's tough for me. It's hard for me to pee in public, too.
Really?
It's
very
tough.
Pee shy.
Very pee.
Really?
That. Dude, I grew up in Arrowhead with the troughs, man.
Yeah.
It's just like, I knew I wasn't going to be something one day, and it was at age 6.
No, just go. Yeah. Who cares?
I know. I don't care.
Easy for you
I
to
want
say.
To. I don't know. Dude.
I just start coughing unnecessarily so I can black out the noise. Like, I'll be sitting there, and I'll just be like, because, like, some guy, this literally is a true story. One time I stood in the stall waiting to go, and the guy looked at me and goes, I know you didn't go. And I was like, okay.
What?
Whoa.
So then I got back in line, and I went to the press. Probably like 27, 28.
Oh, so you're grown
ass man.
No, yeah. He goes, I know you didn't go. And I was like, yep. Call me out on it.
Like, but why were you faking peeing?
Because I was trying to go.
You're trying to go.
But
yeah.
It wasn't happening.
No, I get that. Yeah. I've been there. Your breach buddies were pee-shy buddies.
Well, it's like that boxcar racer. Tiny voices.
But who's the jackass that's standing there monitoring that?
I don't know. He's probably the guy that's in like Just Friends. It's like, class of 95. I'm like, it's over, buddy. Yeah, dude. What, that boxcar ref? Yeah,
so
man. I had a lot of tiny voices in my head.
Good.
It's like, go, dude. Just come on. We do this all the time. Yeah.
Come on,
in the convenience of my own home. Oh, it's tough, dude. Couldn't do it.
I've never been in that situation.
You really got me.
Must be nice, yeah.
Wait till you get a little bit older. You pee anywhere.
What, yourself?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. You start to think about, like, okay.
I've thought about depends at a tailgate.
Well.
Because you think, you want to know my worst nightmare? A porta potty at a tailgate. Tough, dude.
Ah, it's not bad.
Because I can't do the side of the door. Like, some guys can just open that door and just go.
Yeah. It's not bad. I think the porta potties have been fine.
Porta potty's good.
Or you just open the, you know, Ralph's van or bus door and just pee behind that. A lot of people are bringing their own, you know,
yeah,
restrooms now, you know?
Somebody says, Dusty says all these stories, and I'm sure none of them are real. Why would I lie? This is, like, super self-deprecating.
Yeah, like, why would you lie about not being able to pee?
Like, I literally had a guy tell me, like, I know you didn't go. And I'm like, what's a lie? I mean, why would I make that up? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm telling you right now, I can't pee or poop in public. That's not cool.
Right.
You know?
I mean, I've told the older you get, the more you are concerned with where the bathroom is, right? And you will get there eventually, I promise you. You're like, could I make it home? I better go. There's a toilet here. You know, like one of those type of things. But, you know, I always tell the story of Bob Davis and Max Falkenstein doing Jayhawk games forever. They would stop at, ask Josh, they would stop at like any bathroom that was available they'd go to. And one time, the two of them walked into the bathroom and they're standing there peeing. And Bob is next to Max. And Max is like, God, we've sure been through a lot together, right? And,
yeah.
And Bob's like, yeah, we have. And Max says, I wasn't talking to you.
Dude, it says this. Somebody says, I'm not alone in this. Somebody says, I thought I was the only one who couldn't drop a deuce in public bathrooms. You're not the only one. We're in this together.
I have no problem doing that. I've been doing that.
The deuce I don't have a problem with. It's just the number one.
Yeah, it never bothered me. I always look at it as a money savings.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. Pain to poop.
You're not using your own toilet paper and you're not using your own water to flush. Somebody, you do it on the outside, you're saving 7 cents.
From the 816, dude, the troughs. I was born in 90. Dad had season tickets. Tiny boy that was face height to get splashed by all the grown ass men staring at my tiny acorn. And I still to this day can't pee in public easily.
I love the troughs and they should be back.
No.
It's so much more convenient. Like, that's a generational thing. Max's like, no way. I need my own private bathroom at Arrowhead. I'm like, throw out the troughs and fill them with ice.
See, somebody says, what do you do on a long flight? It's a private bathroom. I feel safe in there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm fine there. It's like when you go to, like, a bar and, like, it's like, all right, you almost done? It's like, oh, please stop. Please stop.
Yeah, that's a Richard move. Somebody's peeing. Don't sit there and yell, you almost done.
Yeah, I just can't do it, man.
Turn around and pee on their shoes.
So you got an event tonight? Or are you going to watch the game? Or will you be locked in?
We'll have, I'm sure, the game. I'll be home by halftime.
Yeah, there you go. You know, so. Well, I mean, hell, halftime will be 7:45.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
love that.
Awesome.
Love that, dude. I cannot wait.
Yeah, I'll hope to be home by halftime of that. No, my wife is doing Dancing with the Stars for the BMA Foundation this year. So they're having kind of their kickoff meeting tonight and whatnot on June 14th is the event. I did it 10 years ago. And now, so for my 10-year anniversary, she's going to go ahead and do that. So I'm very proud of her. For doing Dancing with the Stars this year.
Somebody says, I go to the bathroom number two three times a day, and I can only do it at home. Thank God I work at home.
My father, I mean, you want to talk about regimented poopers. I mean, it is an ordeal. My mother should call in and talk about it. I mean, it takes hours. And, like, he used to come home at lunch every day to poop. And, I mean, it was, you want to talk about a schedule.
It takes hours for him to poop? Or it takes hours?
That's not good.
That sounds bad.
I mean, gets up at 10, they're done and ready to get out of the house by 2. I mean, like, my mother calls me. She goes, I don't know what's going on here. Half of my retirement's waiting for your dad to stop pooping.
Is this why you tell us not to sit on there too long?
Well, I've been reading articles about that lately and dealing with my own roids. Don't sit on there a long time. You're going to develop them. I promise you.
Uh-huh.
I know it's sometimes for married guys and fathers. It's the only private time you get, but... You're hurting your hemorrhoids by sitting out on that toilet too long.
Every time I turn the car on and catch the last couple minutes of the show, it's Dusty trying to prove how cool he is. He's either the most interesting radio host or embellishes everything he says. I don't think I'm cool. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm trying to be relatable to everybody else. And apparently this is a very relatable topic.
Somebody pooping? I think everybody does
public.
It.
Everyone does it. Yeah.
Yeah.
My biggest fear, and I'm not going to lie about this one, my biggest fear is going to a tailgate and having to poop.
Mm-hmm. I get that.
So I will get up extra early on game day, drink coffee to try to flush my system before we even go out there. Because if you're in the middle of a tailgate...
Take a shot of Miralax where you go.
That'll make you go all day, though.
Oh, it does?
I think so, yeah. And if you got to, you know, do that in the park, that's a terrible feeling.
Dusty, I can't believe someone called you out on it. My deepest apologies. I literally have a 5- and 2-year-old, and if they're in the bathroom with me, I have to make them leave and close the door.
Oh.
Dude, it's my sanctuary at times. I got to just have peace and quiet. You can go make peace by going doing something nice for somebody today because you never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. It is simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay safe, stay kind, stay warm. Coming up next, it's Barber, Gold, and Drew from 10 to 2 on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City Sports. Talk to you tomorrow.